Good afternoon. Welcome to The Journey 8. I'm your host, Reverend Judy Hosner, and I invite you to sit back and take a few moments to breathe as we share this journey together. Okay, I'm going to come on. And I'm Reverend Judy Hosner, and this is The Journey 8. I hope you're having a good evening. This is a song by one of my favorite artists, Karen Williams, and it's called Head Up.
The world can beat you down, knock you to the ground if you let it. We were made to overcome.
Do I love that song? I love that song. I don't know how much, but it's one of my favorites because no matter how bad of a day you're having, flip that song on and I guarantee you by the end of it, you're going to feel better. I'm Reverend Judy Hosner. I'm here live. I think I'm alive. Yes, got a pulse. I do want to make a fast announcement. We in the Greensboro Triad area are supposed to be having some very bad thunderstorms right in the middle of my show. Can you believe that? We have a warning system here in the studio that tells me that the lightning strikes are too close and I will have to shut down the equipment. That happens very fast. I will not be able to give you much of a warning. Other than if you're listening to Blank Air, I've probably shut the master switch off. Anyway, so just people who listen to me on a normal basis know that this happens and this is my routine. That's that. Now, I think I have on the line, yes. I want to tell you that I have waited weeks for this. gentleman to come on the show, and he is here tonight. He's the most gentle, warm man I have met, and he is the Imam Shahir from the Burlington Masjid. Are you there?
Yes, sure I am. How are you doing this evening?
I am fine, sir. How are you?
I'm all right. May God's blessing and peace be upon you and your audience.
Thank you. Thank you. Wasif could not be here tonight, so you will have to settle for me.
Well, I don't think I get shorted with that.
You don't?
I get
so.
The better part.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. And so he had left me, as prepared as he was, had left me with some questions for you. And so I'm going to give my best at them. And I'm hoping that you have a lot of people listening. And I have spread the word because I want to hear this information myself. And so if you are ready, I will ask you the first question.
Okay. I'm ready. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I want you to spend as much time as you need to and tell us about the Burlington Masjid and its foundation.
Okay. Let me start with the name of God, most gracious and most merciful. The Burlington Masjid is a project that's been in the working for some time now. It originated from the need from the community, the local Muslim community here, to have a place, a church, a place of worship that they can go back to when they need to gather and do their services. A group of people, they get together. It wasn't a big group, about five people that get together, and they explored the idea, and then decided to form a committee to establish a masjid or a mosque for the local community in Burlington. Originally, we had the idea of just let's buy any used old building and use it. Then we went through, let's buy an empty piece of land and build something on it. And then little we know that God have different plans for us. Received a call from a friend of mine. And she said, who happened to be a real estate agent. And she said, well, I know you're looking for a place of worship. And I know this church on Niven Street is up for sale. So I had actually about 4 or 5 years ago, I had seen a for sale sign on it at that time. And I loved the place, but things didn't work. So we came back and came and talked to Reverend Phil Hardy. And really, he is one of the most gentle spirits I ever met. I mean, that guy has a positive charm, positive spirit. And we came and talked a little bit about buying the church, but everything else was mostly about sharing a space between us, more than buying a church or buying a piece of property. We went through the effort of raising funds, which he was gentle on everything except the price for the church. So we went through that, and by God's mercy and grace, we were able to collect little by little from everyone in the community, neighboring communities, and thank God it all came together. I don't know how it did, but God made that happen, and we took possession of the building on December the 30th of this past year, and We wanted this to be a place of worship for anyone that wanted to worship. And that's like the mission that everyone that gets together from the get-go, we said we're going to have this place open for anyone to come and worship. Not necessarily just Muslims or different types of Muslims, But anyone that feels they need a place to worship, and just let them come in there and worship.
Yes, yes. And okay. I believe that y'all have done just a phenomenal job in that transfer, correct?
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, we try in our best. We're not professional by any way, shape, or form, but I believe in all of that. You try your best. God will take care of the rest. And that's been my experience the whole time.
Yes, yes. And for those of you out there that haven't figured it out, I will tell you that Shahir and I are friends because his taking of the building he's speaking about is the church that my church used to occupy. And so we have become very good friends, and I'm just glad that it happened the way God wanted it to happen. And we are building a new church, so life goes on.
Yes, ma'am. And it is really adding more goodness in this community. I mean, it's not like one church went away. Actually, we added more. And we have more ability to do more things together, each congregation by itself. I mean, we have two outlets instead of one outlet. That's the way I look at it.
Yes. So that's great. I just am still on cloud nine. I'll come down in a year or so, I think. So I'm going to move you into the next question, which is a question that I'm glad was on the list because I need to know this myself. What is your role as, and I'm going to probably mispronounce this, but please forgive me, Imam of the Masjid?
Well, I'm an unofficial Imam. And I mean, the literal translation for Imam is a prayer leader. But in the capacity that I'm doing now, I'm more of a facilitator, coordinator, or building manager. I mean, it really depends on what time of the day and what's going on. But I take pride in being the servant of anyone that's wanting to do something at that place. That's where my role is, really the servant, and anything else just comes after that.
Yes. And one of the things I have noticed in my short time counteracting with your members is that no one seems to be in the role of being pious. Everyone is so humble. And, as a deacon and a reverend myself, I just am really touched by that. People have come up to me and said hello and introduced themselves and had no reason to, and that's sweet. So you're kind of like me, a deacon, diakonos, and servant more than a leader, kind of, you know, like a bishop.
The thing, I mean, touching on this point, and I take pride in the little community and congregation we have, is that we have like over 24 different nationalities and ethnic backgrounds. And it really touches my heart when I see them together acting like they don't see differences between themselves. I mean, I know each one come from a different background, different place of the world. Some of them migrated here, but the special thing is really when I see them together, like they're colorblind, they don't see nothing different. Everyone is talking to the other, brother or sister or son, or I mean uncle, auntie, I mean without putting any barriers. And this is really a big plus that God blessed us with.
And, you know, a lot of people who are involved in a church, temple, or mosque type worship, learn that God was a humble God, is a humble God, and requires that of us. And so it's nice to know that people can walk the talk, as they say. And it's also wonderful to know that you open your doors to anyone who wants sanctuary, who wants a place to worship with God, whether they are Presbyterian or, you know, Baptist, whatever. It's not just a mosque for Muslims.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
And
I mean, go ahead.
You can't say that about a lot of Christian, unfortunately, Christians. And, well, and, you know, I'm sad for that.
No, I mean, I'm not faulting them for that either. I mean, because not everyone can serve in the same capacity. And that's the beauty of us not being the same. I mean, because if I fulfill a need that somebody else cannot fulfill, then that makes me more valuable. It gives me a chance to contribute more. So if some places cannot open their doors, that is my opportunity to show that, yes, I can. So it's my obligation to do that. It doesn't take away from them by any way. I mean, I'd love to have every place open, but still, I'd rather a church that's even just, or a synagogue that's just open for one group, better than any other structure that's doing something or serving other purpose.
And that's part of our focus here on the Journey 8, is to teach people the best we can how to be accepting, how to break down these barriers that we have, you know, made between us. And we're moving along. Another 50 or 60 years, we might get it right.
No, God willing, it will be shorter. I mean, I know that you put a good dent in it. You and many people that I get to meet in Alamance and Burlington and here, there is really a sincere effort, and by God's grace, it will begin. I mean, it's already showing fruit. I mean, me talking to you, that many people listening to you and to me, that is some of the fruits that God blessed this community and blessed us with.
Well, you know, what you said earlier really is true. If God is in it, what'd you say? We will win it? Or what was that?
Yes.
Stick with me, I'll get it right.
Okay. If God in it, we'll win it. But I believe just do your best and trust God with the rest.
Yeah.
He'll handle whatever we can't do, he will do it. He'll take care of it.
Yeah. And, you know, that was the hardest thing for me to learn when I was in seminary, is the giving it to God and walking away from it and not taking it back.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't fix it in five minutes. I want it back.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah. And I'm sure you've experienced, I mean, all of us have experienced that, where we don't think he's, you know, God, you're not working fast enough, so I'm just going to, you know, help you out here. So, all right. So I have, I think, two more questions, actually. And we've kind of touched on this one, but Wasif wanted me to ask you about some of the programs that the masjid is offering, and activities, and the things that people can participate in other than, you know, just worship.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I mean, we're doing several things. You were aware of the free clinic that we hosting at the location. And we're working on just preparing the space where the doctors and the volunteers can do the work. That's going to be a clinic that's open to anyone who needs treatment. That's one thing. And the other thing, we're also trying to do like a tour of get to know your Muslim neighbor. Probably we're going to do this on a regular basis, where maybe once a month we'll open the place for everyone to come have a tour. They have questions, if they need any kind of knowledge or assistance, that just come. We're your neighbors. We're no strangers to you. We all live here. Let's do it together. And we're also, I mean, concentrating on trying to do some youth activities, weather permitting, and those will be open for the community, not just the Muslim youth. It's actually, we're going to try to announce it, and maybe we'll solicit your help in letting the word out that any youth they're our children, they're our community. We mm-hmm. want them to all grow together, and by that way, we actually serve the better purpose of not let them grow up with walls built between them and their other siblings. We like that they grow together, they're used to each one another, no barriers, nothing. The other thing is just doing the providing, I mean, the religious services and that part, which is, I mean, that's the least important part of the church that I look at, is really the worship part, because everyone can do it. Everybody knows how to do it. It's what else of our religion, our faith, we can live and demonstrate through this place. And this is what we're concentrating on, is other things that show the true faith to other people and to ourselves.
I have a question for you, and it's not on the list. I know you. Surely he told you I would do this.
Well, he said, don't be surprised. But
what would happen if someone who is, let's say, Catholic, raised Catholic, walked into the doors of the masjid and said, I want to convert. I want to be a Muslim. How do I do that? Do you have a class, or does somebody shepherd them, or how does that work?
I mean, the conversion itself is very simple. I mean, they just have to do the declaration of faith by saying the very simple phrase that there is no God but one God, and that Muhammad is the final messenger, and Jesus is the final is a messenger of God. But other than that, yeah, there is a program of making sure that sources are available to them. More like mentoring to them. Mm-hmm. That's what I would call it. And we do that for the people. I mean, a lot of Muslims, even though they're born Muslims, they haven't gotten the education. And so far, I mean, I have a few instances where I had somebody who was born a Muslim and come to me and said, I really know nothing about my religion. Can you help me be a good Muslim? And we do the same thing, similar to somebody that's just converting. I mean, you have to provide that and walk with them. You don't want to push them, and you don't want to grab their hand. You just hold the hand and walk next to them. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, great. I hope I didn't take you off balance too much, but you know, I'm noted for this. This is anyone who comes on my show knows I have one question that was not on the list.
No problem. And I do appreciate what you provide. I'm really feel inspired when I listen to your shows, and you do something that many people neglect to do. May God bless you and bless your steps.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for coming on the show. I hope that you have a peaceful evening, even though the skies are not looking too fun. And God bless you, and I hope you come back.
Yeah, definitely. Anytime you want me, I'm your servant. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Good night.
Good night. Okay, so that was Iman Shahir from the Burlington Mosque. I hope you all enjoyed that. If you have questions and you couldn't get through on the lines, which may be the case because of the way the weather is and stuff, you can always always, email me at revjudy@thejourney8.org. And, I get my email like anyone else 100 times a day, and I'd be glad to point you in the right directions. I might not be able to answer the question, but at least I can point you down the road. Hey, Jen, are you out there? Yep. 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 Okay. Okay. Well, wasn't that interesting? Yeah. Okay. So now we have, oh, look at that, a good 20, 25 minutes. What would you like to do since you got cut out last time and left sitting on the curb? I have several suggestions, but I want to hear yours first.
What are your suggestions? I don't
know. That's no fair. I always have to go first. Why is that? Well, I had two things, and I didn't want to get too far into your testimony because for those of you who are listening out there, we have a whole hour show, special show coming up, and I'll broadcast it as soon as I know what the date is, where we are going to spend that hour with Jen and Jenna, and we're going to hear the testimony of this woman who, it's phenomenal, it's life-changing. It will set you back on your heels. And so we're going to have a whole show where we're just going to listen to her and her music and how that music comes about. So I'm trying not to delve too much into that side of it tonight because I don't want to, mess up what we have coming in a week or two. So that being the case, what do we have left to talk about? Well, I think we should play a song and you and I decide what we want to talk about because, okay, like I said, I have a few ideas. So, Mr. Engineer, if you would please, I think our next song, this weather makes craziness. The next song slotted is another song from a new person that I found by the name of Sarah Kelly, and it's called You Know Me. And the words to this song are something that I think you could have written. It reminds me of you. So, Mr. Engineer, if you're out there, you know me. All right. So you're going to hear more about Sarah Kelly. I've been in contact with her manager, and I believe we're going to have a time that we can interview her and give her the torturing, the Hosner torturing effect. She'll never be the same. So, Jen.
Well, yeah.
I forgot what I was going to ask you. God, help me, please. Okay, just cover for me here. What was I going to ask? Oh, conference this weekend.
Yeah. I went to a conference this weekend.
Raleigh?
Yep, in Raleigh. We went to a conference in Raleigh. You just want me to talk about it?
Let people know what it was about. Yeah, the basis of it. I think people don't realize how many things go on in our triad area.
Yeah, a lot does. I'm always busy. It was called Consumed by Love, and it was actually out in Raleigh. And Heidi Baker was there, who, if anyone knows anything about me, knows that she's like my favorite minister, evangelist, missionary,
fangirl. You're a fangirl for Heidi Baker.
Oh, Santa says I'm a fangirl for Heidi Baker.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, wish. But she's the one who started the base in Mozambique where we went and stayed.
Yes. So, yes.
It was her conference, and there was about 1,000 people, they said. I think there was about 1,000 people at the conference all weekend. It was a lot. Like, there was morning, afternoon, and night services, and they all ran like over 3 hours each service. It was 12 hours each day.
Move away from whatever you're standing near. It's
okay.
Giving you all kinds of static. There must be something high-powered. Probably your guitar.
I wish it was my guitar.
Yeah. And this is one of the reasons why we prefer landlines over, because you see what happens. Any type of electrical stuff interferes with it. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Is that better?
It is better. What'd you do?
I was by a light.
She sees the light. coming to you. Okay,
anyway,
so
back to the conference.
Yes.
So the conference is called Consumed by Love, and it was Heidi Baker, and which I go pretty much anytime she's around here. And so we went there, and we were exhausted, tired, because it's super. We had to get up at like 6 o'clock in the morning, so that's kind of early, and go out there and have no sleep the whole time. But it was all about love, and you know, just sharing the love of God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and everything. And while I was there, there was just so many different people there from all over. You could just tell from all walks of life and from different cultures. And you know, there's some, obviously, from around the triad, but people came from Asia, people came from Mozambique, from Africa, from Australia, from the UK to this conference, from Canada. One speaker from Canada. So, you know, people just came from everywhere, and they just worshiped God in their own way, and you got to see that in very unique ways that I know Jenna has never witnessed before.
Wow.
So it was quite an experience for her. And you know, everyone has a different journey to take in their own journey for faith. And kind of like taking a path, you know. Sometimes it gets really treacherous and it's hard to climb and you feel like you want to give up. And that's when it, you know, you need to push forward. You know, me and Jenna, we like to hike. She does it more so than I do, and she's better at it than me. But I know, like, the last time we did one was the hardest one I went to, and there was that one point that I was just like, I can't do it. And, but we had to, and we keep pushing forward. And but when we reached the top of the mountain, it was so worth it, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like what faith is about. That's kind of like what journey is about. Each one travels their own path, their own journey differently, but the ultimate goal is worth it. And,
exactly. And you know, everybody's faith walk is different and at a different pace. You know, there's those of us who, you know, have faith, or we want to believe we have enough faith that we could walk through hot coals, you know, if God were with us. And then other people are still struggling with their faith walk. They're still, you know, I say in the starter's gate, you know, I don't know how else to explain it. So throw Jenna on the line for a minute.
Hey,
it's you.
It's me.
What was the most impressive or important thing you learned this weekend?
Patience.
You married the wrong person. Oh, that's funny. That is funny.
Yeah, really? I was definitely out of my element and incredibly uncomfortable the entire time. But it, you know, something that was very important to my life. So,
yeah,
I was there.
Wow. Okay, so we're getting down towards the end here. One of the things I wanted to say, other than apologizing for all of our stuff last week, but you're still talking to me, we're still friends, and hey, you know, we'll set up that time for the special, because that thing is going to be awesome. But one of the other things I wanted to ask is, Jen, this is yours, when you made the transition... I'm going to take a step here, and if I'm speaking online, let me know. It won't stop me, but let me know. When you made the transition from heavy, hard rock, you know, concert life to expanding your walk with God, what was the first thing you noticed that changed in your life?
Honestly, there was a lot less stress, and, you know, because one, the hard rock life and that I was pushing and striving on my own, and instead of letting God take it and letting God do it, you know, and not only that, I had everyone else, you know, in the band, we call it band family. I had them that I really worried about and cared about. And so I was always on like a high stress level with that. And when I finally decided to, you know, this is what God called me to do, it was a very painful step to take, but it also was like a weight getting lifted off of me, because I was walking the walk that he wanted me to walk.
Yes. It's amazing how that happens, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. One of the things the reason why I wanted you to say that is I've received a couple emails from people, and one of them was from a country I've never heard of, let's say, I know that I'm supposed to be doing something other than what I'm doing. I don't know how to make the jump. I'm afraid to make the jump. And of course, you know, I'll kick in with a, you know, wise word of testimony from the Bible. But in those cases, I think it's good to hear from you that, you know, it's okay. You know, you lived through it. It was hard, but, you know, you made it happen. And I think you can be a good source of encouragement to people out there that are struggling with, yeah, you talk about this and you talk about that, but I don't know how to get there. I don't know how to get there. So, you know, we'll explore that a little bit more. We're up to 17 listeners now. Is that awesome or what? The producer just laughs at me every time I do this. So we're winding down. We're at the end, sort of. And I want to play this other song from this other woman I found. I spend half of my days just strumming through the indie charts looking for these artists, you know, that are not out there in the big times yet. And this lady is, and I should let the engineer know, her name is Lauren Moscato, and she has a wonderful voice, and almost alto, kind of, and she has a song called "He Gives Me Strength." And I found this song on a day that was just an awful day. And it's amazing how God does this kind of stuff. I had been on this page about 3 or 4 times. And now, you know, on one of my worst days, I'm on this page again. And all of a sudden, poof, she pops out. So I don't know. Let's see if... if we got it loaded up.
All right.
And I want you to hear this and tell me what you think as far as the voice, because I can't place it. You're more of a music aficionado than I am. I am a mere whatever. We haven't decided what my voice is. Crackling most of the time. So he is queuing it up. And mm-hmm. It's a wonderful song. Like I said, "He Gives Me Strength." And it's an awesome song. Takes a minute. There we go.
Scar.
All right, so that was Lauren Moscato. We are going to try and track her down and get her to come on the show. She has given us permission to play her music, so has the others. And, you know, if you know somebody out there that, you know, is an indie Christian recording artist and they need a break, we'll play their music. We won't even charge. We couldn't charge. I would know. So I enjoyed this evening. It was a wonderful talk with Iman Shahir. And I hope people got a lot of good information from that. We are going to probably close down with my favorite group, Wheel of Titus. With Nothing's Impossible, and then we'll go right out to the outro, the good night. So that's it. Jen and I say, God bless you. Right, Jen? Yes.
As small as a mustard.
Thank you for listening to The Journey 8, and please come back and join us again. Remember, be kind in all you do, and the kindness will come back to you. Grace and peace, Judy Hausner.